here. We're about to begin a new sukkah. We just barely introduced it on Thursday, so we'll just begin over again. So the Gemara is still trying to find what is that phantom case. According to Papa, that certain people like the avos. So the Gemara is going through all the list of different avos. The Gemara is now bumped into bor and trying very, very hard to identify what the total bor is. So the Gemara took us on a whole digression last week that maybe bor, towards bor tes, which was really nice that the Gemara did that because it gave us a whole week of shiur to talk about bor tes and bor yud and nis and nezikin, etc. But at the end of the day, we failed miserably because that is not even the total, because bor tes and nezikin is a similar av as well. So what is the magic tolda? So the Gemara on the top of Dav Gimel Beis begins to make reference to a possible tolda, and that is avana sekir maso sheinichin b'shisirav. A person left his package, he left his knife, he left his stone sitting in the middle of the street, and somebody gets hurt, either a person gets hurt, an animal gets hurt, it doesn't make much of a difference. When we're dealing with nezikin, it doesn't matter, there's no chilul between animals and people, and somebody gets hurt on his object that he left in the middle of the street. So Gemara says, oh, that's a classic example of bor. Really? Gemara says, not so simple. So Gemara now references the major machlokes Rav and Shmuel that appears in the third paragraph of Kuches, and that really sets the stage for our sugya. So comes the Gemara and says that everybody agrees that if you leave something in Rishis Rabim and you mafkir that item, that is classic bor. That is a told of the bor l'choladeus. But if you not mafkir the item, then we're not so sure. Then it's not so poshut. And that's where Rav and Shmuel disagree. According to Shmuel, that's a bor. Doesn't matter you are mafkir, not mafkir, it's all bor. And Rav says no. Rav says that is not bor. That is, believe it or not, as strange as it may sound, that is shor. That's not bor. Because Rav says you own it, it ain't bor. And that's really where the sugya begins for us. What is the Nekudas and Machlokes Rav and Shmuel? What are they fighting about? How does this impact on a whole global understanding of what bor is and is not? How does this relate to shor and bor and toldus and kampel toldus? There are so many things that are going to be all swirling around to try to make some sense out of this sugya. So let's begin. So we have Machlokes Rav and Shmuel. I have a Avonai, Sakina, Umaso, Shalohif Kirun. And I want to know, what is the status of this? So comes Rav and says, this is shor. And comes Shmuel and says, this is bor. So Rashi, later on in Daf Kaf Ches, begins to tackle the sugya with the following hanocha. Says Rashi, you cannot look at this machlokes Rav and Shmuel in a vacuum. You cannot focus on stones in the middle of the street. But rather you have to go back to the ABC. You have to go back to the Chumash. Go back to the source of all Chochma, Torah Hashem, Torah Hashem Tamima. And you got to go back to the Chumash itself and figure out, well, Eza Bor Amar B'Torah. What is the model of Bor in the Torah? And if you understand what the model of Bor itself is in the Torah, then you can begin to understand why Shmuel was comfortable in labeling this as Bor, and why Rav was uncomfortable with labeling it as Bor, and had to go run to treat it as Shor. Now, it's important to highlight, this machlokes Rav and Shmuel is not just a theoretical machlokes. Is it shor or is it bor? At the end of the day, everyone's paying anyway, so who cares whether it's bor or shor? This is not philosophy. This is a big nafkamina. We've said this many times. Rav Shecht has told us that when you have a machlokes and there's no nafkamina, then it's philosophy. So when you get a PhD in philosophy, so you study chakiras without machlokes, without nafkaminas. But if you want to learn Torah, so you got to be some kind of a practical application of this. We had an interesting discussion at a Shabbos table yesterday. I don't remember how we got into this conversation. We were talking about people who sit around and mamash philosophize about the world. So we were talking about in the days of pre-French Revolution, how they would sit around in the streets of Paris and just mamash philosophize, mamash the Weltereien, but absolutely nothing of any practical relevance. And all the great chachma, the great thinkers of Europe in the 1700s, so that's where they honed their skills. Mamash sitting around philosophizing. So there are not too many people who sit around and do that, b'zman hazeh. So I remember my wife at the time, she said to me yesterday, she said, I can't understand that. How can it be that a person could sit around and discuss the topic that has absolutely no relevance in the practical world today? So I want to say, but I do it all day. That's what So she said to me, no, but you only have lamais. I says, no, you only hear the Hilchos Shabbos Shiurim I give. I said, you don't know what I do most of the day. Most of the day I learn things like Arba Achin, Marin to Four Achayos, you know, that kind of stuff. You know, Avon HaSekir HaMasoh, Shenich HaMishas Rabim, you know, that kind of stuff. It goes back to that very first conversation. It's still back. We haven't changed anything in 24 years. That very first Lumdashic conversation I had with my wife after marriage was when she posed that question to me. Who remembers trivia questions in the Shia? What was that question she asked me right after we got married? He said, what do you do all day? She's like, what do you, we should have talked about this when we were dating. In those days, you married first and talked later, but it's probably better that way. But we, I didn't get a lot of trouble for this year. So I remember she asked me, so what am I exactly learning? Yeah, she gave me a quick synopsis of what I'm learning. I said, no, you don't want to hear it. She said, no, tell me. So I was learning Temura at the time. So I said, okay, here's the case. I said, I spent the last 3 hours talking about if you're makdish a behemoth, the behemoth is pregnant, and it's a korban chatas, and you brought one and you bring the other, and now it died and it ran away. Yeah. So what do you do? So remember she said to me, just you keep on doing what you're doing, I'll do what I do, and you know, we'll talk about the carpool, whatever, we'll talk about the carpool. So nothing's changed in 24 years. Anyway, so basically, getting back to the story. So here we have this Machlokes Rav and Shmuel. Is this pure philosophy, or is there some real practical nafka mina? So the Gemara says nafka v'ches is a very real practical nafka mina. What's a nafka mina? Who cares whether it's shor or bor? To Kalim, right? That's a real nafka mina. Yechayv and Kalim. According to Rav, yeah. According to Shmuel, no. So comes Rashi and says, let's analyze the bor of the Torah and see whether it meets, this case meets the model or not. So you got to go back to Bash Mishpatim. How would you begin to analyze the Bahar B'Torah? So you have to open up a Chumash and start to read the Pesukim. So the Torah says, Ki Yiftach Ish Bar, O Ki Yichar Ish Bar. So the Torah has already described in those two phrases what the Bahar B'Torah is. So comes Rabbi Yishmael, later on the fifth perek, and says, from this phrase alone, Ki Yiftach Yichar, this dual phrase, I already know what the Bahar B'Torah is. And more important to what it is, says Rabbi Yishmael, I know where it is. The Torah is depicting and describing a boar that's dug in Rishus HaRabim. How do I see anywhere where the boar is dug? The Torah just says the guy's digging a pit, he's opening a pit, he's uncovering a manhole. How do you know it's the boar of Rishus HaRabim? Vishteit Rishus HaRabim. So comes to Bishmo with the following. Al iskei psicho kriya chiva kosov. Since the Torah goes out of its way to describe what he did, the action that he did, zepen fundo, that's the mechayiv. It's the digging of the hole, or the opening of the pre-existing cover, that is the mechayev bor. Iske kriyo kiyiftach ish bor, iske psicho kriyo. What does that mean? So Rashi on the spot spells out what that means. In the fifth paragraph, Rashi says, what the mashmos aposek is that there is no other reason to be mechayev this fellow. There's no other compelling reason in Huchas Nezikin that this fellow should be chayev. You know why? As a general rule, what are you chayev for tashlumit? You're chayiv of either you actively, if I break your window, if I throw a baseball through your window, I'm chayiv to pay. Or if my animal gores your animal, I'm chayiv to pay. If my fire burns down your house, I'm chayiv to pay. My animal eats your produce, I'm chayiv to pay. My animal tramples on your field, I'm chayiv to pay. The common denominator in all those cases of niske mamono are, is that it's niske what? Niske mamono. And here, the Torah is almost highlighting and saying that the reason why you're chayev is not because your mamon was mazik. The reason why you're chayev, al iske kriyo psicha chiva hakosov, the reason why you're chayev has nothing to do with mamena shehizik. The reason why you're chayev is because you did an action that's a mechayev. Now wait a second, says Rabbi Shmuel, if this boar is in your backyard, so then that's mamon shehizik. That's mamena shehizik. So why does the Torah single out iske kriya upsicha? So says Rashi, Vidas Rabbi Shmuel, from the fact that the Torah dafka is veering away from a manish hizik when it comes to the pasha bor, we're focusing only on the mice of kriya upsicha, zetman fando, that the bor ha'om of a Torah is situated where, Rabbi Say? In a where? In the Rishus HaRabim. It is not in your backyard. It would be in your backyard, it would be chayv al t'mamon shehizik. It is sitting right smack in the middle of the street, and it's taka not yours. So comes Rabbi Shmuel and says, the first bor in the Torah, the bor of Ki Yichre, is a bor b'shus HaRabim. And says Rabbi Shmuel, that's all there is, there ain't no more. There is no other case in the Torah of being chayv a bor, except for the case of bor b'shus HaRabim. Comes Rabbi Akiva and says, you're right, that is an example of bor, but that is not the only example of bor, because Rabbi Akiva keeps on reading the pasuk and says, Ki yiftach ish bor, ki yichre ish bor, v'chazeno, v'nafal, shom ashar ochamor. What's the next words? Baal ha-bor yishalim. Baal ha-bor, the owner of the bor. I dug a hole in the middle of a street in Bergenfield. Ich bin the baal ha-bor. I don't own it. It belongs to the bor of Bergenfield. So, whatever we are, town, whatever we are. So, comes Rabbi Akiva and says, who's the Baal HaBor? it must be Zachter Akiva. The Torah is speaking about another kind of a boar that actually has an owner to it. So it's not brisket Torah, because it's not two dinim, not two halachas of boar. There's the boar versus around, that's the first pasuk. That Rabbi Shmuel is 100% right. And now there's a second boar called the boar of Baal HaBor, and that is talking about a boar Birshus HaYachid, namely Birshus HaMazik, in my Rishus per se. Now that's a very, very tricky statement that Rabbi Akiva is saying, because that doesn't make any sense. Why doesn't it make any sense? Because boar, my boy. Gemara says that, let's say your animal walks into my backyard and my ox gores your animal, I'm part of the pay. Why? Because what's your animal doing in my backyard? That's common sense. That's svar pshuta. While I'm the cross svaru, obviously I'm not chayev b'shus ha'mazik. So comes Rabbi Akiva and says, this would be absurd. If this was the case, if this was boar number two of the Chumash, this would defy logic. Because why in the world am I chayev to pay if you walked into my backyard and you fell into my pit? So the answer is we have to, you know, touch up the case a little bit, do a little delicate surgery on the case to make it, on the one hand, to fulfill the pasuk of pshuta b'al haboy shalem, on the other hand, to make it make any sense logically. So how do we do that? A very, very strange case. What's the case? Oh, that means it was my backyard. I dug a pit in my backyard. And if your animal would have fallen in right now, Bashiach Sham, I would takabi potter, because of the Svara Sharcha, Bishusi, my boys. But I subsequently was mafki my backyard. So I knocked down my fences, and I put up a big sign that says, everybody, Yavo, anyone can come. You can do whatever you want. You can sit and have coffee in my backyard. You can set up a pedestrian mall in my backyard. You can invite the world, or whatever you want to do. Sit there in my backyard. It's totally half kilo coal. And what happens in the process? So a guy comes with his animal, comes into the backyard, and what happens? Lo and behold, he falls into the pit. Now the pit is still mine. I've never mafka the pit. I'm using it as a storage pit. I'm using it to throw people into the pit, 10 tvachim deep, 100 tvachim, whatever deep the boar is. So I'm still using that that boar. So the boar belongs to me. The rishus I was mafka already. So now I can't say to you with a straight face, you know, shorcha b'shusi, my boy, because I gave you rishus. And in fact, I was mafka it. So it's a new scenario called Hifki Rishu Savul Hifki Bayro Zokt Rabbi Akiva. That is the second bar Amar B'Torah. So we have Kiyichra, where almost the Maisa is the Mechayiv, because it's not my bar. And then we have Baal HaBor Shalem, which is the Mamono Shehizik, which is the Mechayiv. And again, we just have to touch it up. And Hokal Maeskidim, the fellow was subsequently Mafka the bar, or else the case wouldn't make any sense. This is Rabbi Akiva's way of reading Pashas Mishpatim. Rabbi Shmuel responded back to Rabbi Akiva and said, what you just described is not correct. Why? Because there is no second case of boar, argued Rabbi Shmuel. You mistranslated Baal HaBor Shalem. Rabbi Shmuel's Otzko Chumash, it didn't say what it said in Rabbi Akiva's Otzko Chumash. It said, Baal HaBor. Baal HaBor is a very figurative way of speaking. What does it mean? Baal HaBor means Baal HaWa. Baal HaTakola. It means that owner, the one responsible for the stumbling block. It doesn't mean the literally dini mabit cheshem mishpat, the owner. It means the bala takol is chayef to pay. And according to Bishmol, there is no second bar. According to Bishmol, there's one bar of a Torah, and that is the ki yiftach and the ki yichra. So that's how it plays out in Maseches Bava Kama, the fifth parak, according to Rabba's version of Machlokes Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. The Gemara has a whole other potential way of understanding this Machlokes, but the Gemara ultimately rejects it. So what I just explained to you is conventional wisdom. That's Rabba's understanding, and that's where the whole sugya is going to play out. So all of Bava Kama plays out with this understanding. That was the Nekudas of Machlokes Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel.
Can I tell you, Shmuel, if you are Machir, the Rishus and the Bor?
So you want to know, is that better, is that worse, or is it the same? That's Mechalei's Rashi and Tosfos. We're going to get to that later on. Okay, that's a sideshow in the sugya. It's an important sideshow, but it's not for our purposes. We don't need it yet. You can be mafkir if he wants. Let's say I want to be mafkir in my house, but I don't want to be mafkir in my backyard. I can be mafkir whatever I want. I'm the bailim. No, the guy says, I'm not, you want to know what would the stam loshen be? If a guy says, my whole backyard is hefker, maybe you're right, maybe the boar would be included. But the guy says, how come I skin and I still want the boar? I just want to be mafka the backyard. Just as an aside, according to Rabbi Shmuel, there never really is a case of a true Baal HaBor, that model doesn't exist in halacha, called a true Baal HaBor, and the Torah still calls him in a sense a Baal HaBor. What is that image, does that conjure up? a chametz for Pesach. That's exactly where Rabbi Shmuel lumped that together with chametz for Pesach. Rabbi Shmuel is the famous statement of shnei devarim ein b'shusa shel adam, v'asana kasekilim b'shusa. There's the bor b'shusa rabim and chametz and Pesach. They're both examples where, in terms of pure chesh mishpa, it's not yours, but in terms of chiyuvim, the Torah smacks you with the chiyuv. In the case of the bor, you have to pay. In the case of the chametz, you offer by Rav Matzah. Right. That's what I'm saying. But that's Rabbi Shmuel, right? That's the Nochel. I'm saying that's Rabbi Shmuel.
Isn't there a Tosfos later on that suggests that you can sort of divide Baalus by being a Baal with Nezikin versus for other purposes?
Okay, it's another whole another story. Okay, it's a whole another whole another pismon. Okay. We have to hold off on that. Okay. So by saying, yeah, we just mean the ABCs, the Machlokes, Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Shmuel. But we're still not done yet. We have no idea how this is going to impact in Rav and Shmuel yet, but we still haven't quite fine-tuned the Machlokes, Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Shmuel yet. So the Rishonim, all of a sudden, raise a challenge and try to address a challenge. I think one doesn't even address, doesn't even raise. Rishonim want to know, according to Rabbi Yishmael, why is it that this case is potter? The case of Hifkir Mamono, Hifkir Chatzero, Hifkir Rishuso, for Hifkir Bayro. This case, born number two of Rabbi Akiva, why logically does Rabbi Shmuel not hold Yechayev? It makes a lot of sense. I own the bar, you fell into my bar, so why? Like, make a tasty that I'm Yechayev. It's a question Rabbi Shmuel said more bothered with. If the Rabbi Akiva says Yechayev, why does Rabbi Shmuel say not Yechayev? What's funny about that kasha? There's something that's bothering about that kasha.
First of all,
you need a positive. Oh, and Rabbi Shmuel doesn't interpret the verse that way. It's a strange kasha that the Rishonim start off with. The Rishonim say, hey, wait a second, Rabbi Yishmael, why aren't you chayav? What do you mean, why aren't you chayav? There's no pasuk. Everyone's pasuk to prove in chayav. So the only source that Rabbi Akiva had to be mechayev the person was the gzeres hakasa of Baal HaBor Yishalem, which Rabbi Akiva understood to be referring to a bor number two. Rabbi Yishmael said the Baal HaBor is not referring to case number two, it's just referring to case number one. And Baal HaTakol Ksiv, and Baal HaBor is not translated to mean Mamoni and Cheshim Mishpat, but rather means Baal HaTakola. So why do I have to give you a reason why you're potter? The reason why you're potter is because you're not chayev in the first place. So what do you see from even from the challenge that the Rishonim asked? Maybe Rashi asked this kasha, Taisa asked this kasha. So what do you see? Rashi says about Rabbi Shmuel, no madlan Rabbi Akiva, because of reason X. And Taisa says Rabbi Shmuel is not madlan because of reason Y. What do you need reasons for? It's partial. But what do you see from the Rishonim? That's possible. One could learn that way. Maybe one could learn a little bit differently. Let's go back to the ABCs of Rabbi Shmuel. We're still in the world of the bor of Rabbi Shmuel. The Torah says, Ki yiftach en ki yichra. Al iske psichel kriya chiva Torah. Right? And that translates to mean, Al iske psichel kriya, this translates to mean, Rishus harabim. Bor Rishus harabim. Yesh lachkor. Why don't you raise the following question? Bidas Rabbi Shmuel's drasha. That exists a cause of iske psicha kriya is coming from the chayav bor b'shus rabim. Is that a statement of fact or is that a yut? Is that a description of a bor, a specific kind of a bor that happens to be a b'shus rabim? But it doesn't mean dafka b'shus rabim. Maybe there are other bores that could be chayav also, possibly, logically. Whereas al iske psicha kriya a miut is saying the Torah is going out of its way to emphasize how the person, what action the person did to get this bor intact. Zeman fanda that the only kind of bor of a Torah is a bor that meets these criteria, and this is a miut al iske psicha kriya la afuke anything else. So the chora, if you read the Gemara, if you read Rabbi Shmuel's drasha the second way, then the Rishonim's question was a superfluous kasha. Hashem's kasha made no sense. If you really learn that al iske psicha kriya is a derasha a miyah, so what are you super? You're outsmarting the Torah. If the Torah, the Rebbeinu Shalom is Moshe to Moshe Rabbeinu, ki yiftach ki yichra al iske psicha kriya. That's the way the pshat and the pasuk is. At kan v'lo yoseh. So what are you drain me a cup and ask me? Ooh, should be chayav in the other case. Where? There is no other case. The miyot is my the other case. So the Chayim Mikushas are showing them its klor that they understood that al iske psicha kriya is a statement of fact. It's not a statement of miyot. And as a statement of fact, the Torah is describing the scenario of Bor b'shus harabim. What would the halacha be? Other kind of bayiras? Let's go back to the ABCs of how do you extrapolate din of one from another. So we only have on record the Torah discussing Bor b'shus harabim, and we want to know, well, what's the din of a Bor b'shusai? Again, the case of Hifki b'shusai or Hifki b'ayirai. What would the case be? So can we extrapolate from Bor b'shus harabim to Bor b'shusai? What do you think? How would we go about doing that? Again, if you hold that it's a miut, it's exerce cause of Borbish Ram Atkan, nothing more, nothing less, then it's absurd kasha. But if you're willing to accept the idea that Borbish Ram is just, that's the description of the Bor of Pashas Mishpatim, but Ken Zion, we can go past that, so we would have to open up a lot. Where would we go? How would we begin to extrapolate? We go back to the ABCs of what? We have to have chakras. Now, would anybody have any hesitation in using Midas Kavah Chomer under these circumstances? Would you have any qualms, any limitations about using Kavah Chomers? Would you? I think we should go back to the first day of Shir. That's Chazak. It's a good opportunity to Chazak. The pieces of the puzzle, by the end of the year, the pieces of the puzzle do connect, usually, sometimes. Yeah? Well, Kavah Chomer, so Tosfos claims, Tosfos says, we have no problems with Kavah Chomer. It's the problem with Kavah Chomer. The whole Dav Beis in Bavakam is full of Kavah Chomer. There's a Mechilta that didn't like Kavah Chomer. The Mechilta, we have to follow the Mechilta. That would be Tosfos, looking at the Sugya. Tosfos would say, according to the Shas Bavli, Talmud Bavli, we can dash in Kavah Chomer. Other Rishonim would be much, much more weary in driving Kavah Chomer, particularly in Hilchos Bor. Which Rishonim would put the brakes on this? The Rashba, because the Rashba said, everyone agrees to the Mechilta. The Rashba says, yeah, of course, on Shemom and Adin, that's a no-brainer. But Bor, Bor, we're not so fast to be Onish Min Adin. Why? Because of the uniqueness of Bor. What's so unique about Bor? Is that it doesn't make any what? Taka doesn't make any logical sense. Bor is the Chiddush HaTorah. What's the Chiddush HaTorah? Come on, new. What's the Chiddush HaTorah? It's not moving. It's not like, there's so many things strange about Bor. The Rashba says that we wouldn't run to make Kavah Chomer in Bor. So let's put that Rashba on the back burner. Let's go back to Tosfos. Regular Tosfos, the base. We didn't read any fancy Rishonim. We just read a Tosfos. Tosfos tells us we could use the regular Midrash HaTorah. Rashba says, Rambam, Ezekiel, Mamonis, Beveris. We have no qualms. So if I would tell you that the Torah describes a case of Bor b'shus harabim as being chayav, what would you take B on a Bor b'shuso? What would you think? I would say, what? You'd say, Potter. Potter.
Yeah, we've said that the reason that you're chayav is because you created a game of Isa and b'shus harabim. It's always going to be a b'sif, not on the Bor itself.
Oh, good, well, hold on. I want to know if the Torah only depicted for you case A, case number one, the Bor b'shus harabim, can we extrapolate to case B or not? Anyone want to invoke a Kavah Chomer? Why? Well, I wouldn't even run the Shane for Regel. I would say, why give me a Porsche Svar? Your Porsche Kavah Chomer. You don't even own the Bor in the case of Shisharabim. Shisharabim is a wild din. I never would have said such a thing they asked me. It's not mine. And still the Torah said you have to pay Kavah Chomer, you have to pay in a Bor B'Shuscha. Now again, assuming that you were mafke reshusa, if you weren't mafke reshusa, then that's a no-brainer. Of course you don't pay, because the svar of shorach b'bari, my boy, that trumps everything. Okay? But in the case where we circumvented that svar by being mafke reshusa lehifke b'bari, right? I would say it's a simple kevachav, it's a simple rabbi shmo. If you daven shachar this morning, you should have figured this out, that if a bor b'shus harabim is chayev, then a bor b'shuso should kevachav be chayev. And that's exactly what Rashi and Tosfos say. And that's exactly the starting point according to Rabbi Shmuel. That even though Rabbi Shmuel only subscribes to one case in the Teshuv Ichsav, but the Midas Kavachim, the Teshuv Apeh, should have gotten me to this case also. And clearly the Rishonim were bothered with this kasha, were not learning that iske psicha kriya is a miut. It is just case that the Torah is depicting, but there may be potentially more cases as well. And if you can somehow figure out logically through the midas, the engine of midas shetan and rashi b'em, you could create another case. And that's exactly what Rashi Tosfos did. And they said, hey, wait a second, Rabbi Yishmael, what are you arguing with Rabbi Akiva for? The true, you disagree with him in pshat in the pasuk of Balaboy Shalem, but let's use the midas kavachaymer to create that second type of bar. And that's where the sugya starts for Rashi and Tosfos. Everyone saw this? Everyone realized this when they were learning Daf Kavchas? It's like the ABCs of Daf Kavchas, right? Okay, maybe we should learn pre-ABCs, okay? So come to Rashi and Tosfos and ask this kash and say, hey, wait a second, why does Rabbi Shmuel, the buck stop here? Why don't we go Kavachomer? So now each one, Rashi and Tosfos, have to explain why the Kavachomer is faulty. There is something about case B that is not so compelling, not so convincing, and each Rishon has to now present what that compelling Svara is. So Rashi, if you take a look, the third of the Maamar Kremes. So Rashi, on Daf, Daf Mem Test, Achav Chesam, Rashi, Daf Mem Test. So the third of the Maamar Kremes, Rashi says, Rabbi Akiva Meidel El Rabbi Shmuel, the Bar B'Shu Sarabim, to Amar B'Toyra. That's a no-brainer. Of course, everyone agrees to Rabbi Shmuel. About Rabbi Shmuel, O Meidel El Rabbi Akiva, B'Bar B'Shu Sarai. Rabbi Yishmael does not concede to Rabbi Akiva. And again, you have to ask yourself, why should he be conceded? There's the pasuk. So the answer is, well, you don't need a pasuk. It's a kavachomer. There's a miyut. No, there is no miyut. You have to say all that inside. When you read these five words of Rashi, you have to understand that's what Rashi was thinking. So Rashi says, so what is the compelling reason Rabbi Yishmael denies Rabbi Akiva's second bar? The kasav is like the heli gitana Rabbi Yishmael. Ki afkarna lach reshusi la'av li'ichiyuve ana behazeka afkirte. What did Rashi just say? What did Rashi just say, everybody say? What's the svar of Rabbi Shmuel why he refuses to go down the route of the Kavachemet to be Mechayev, the second bor? When I first dug this bor in my property, in my backyard, in my wildest dreams, was I Chayev for such a bor? It's my backyard. What are you doing in my backyard? What's your animal spatiered into my backyard for? What's the mechayev? What transforms me to now being chayev for this bar? I was masking my backyard. So I created the problem. I was the one who put my foot into my mouth. By being masking my rishus, I opened up the possibility of you taking me to a dentist for your animal's broken leg in my bar. Rashi says, it's all dependent upon your das. I can't be masking something without daiti. I can be masking shlomi das. So I was mafka the bar. So listen to the Rashi, it's the college. This is like after 3 o'clock. This is like Kaji 102 already. That we're reading into the guy's kavana as follows. No guy in their right mind would ever be mafka the rishus that would end up costing the money down the line. The general hanukkah people is people don't want to pay money. People like to get money. Most people don't want to give money. Okay? That's just the way the world works. Okay? So now we're trying to size up what was this guy's kavana. He's mafka's rishus. But if we would tell him that in the fine print, being mafki or rishus is going to cost you, if the other dinkapoop's bar shore is going to fall into your bar, I would never have done such a thing. I would never ever have been mafki b'chiyah gavna. So you can't turn around and make me pay now cash for the broken leg of the other guy's shore if the whole engine that drove this chiyah was my b'chiyah gavna lo hefkarti. That's Rashi's. That's the reputation that's sent to the kavachayimah. So ultimately, what the point there of Bor B'Shusa is, according to Rabbi Shmuel, is not pshat you can't have a Bor B'Shusa. You could have a Bor B'Shusa. It's just that what? There's no case of a Bor B'Shusa. Because if I wasn't mafkir, then it's a no-brainer, then of course I'm potter. Even Rabbi Kiva agrees I'm potter. If I wasn't mafkir, the Rishus. If I was mafkir, the Rishus, so I could still turn around and say, if I was mafkir, the Rishus, what can I turn around and say? I really what? I really was the mafkir mirushus, vis-a-vis to make me pay money. So I'm walking a fine line, says Rabbi Shmuel, but there's no practical way to be mechtav that Rabbi Shmuel is opposed to Bor B'Shusas. Rabbi Shmuel, theoretically, you know, in the world of the philosophers in Paris in 1700s, you can have a theoretical Bor B'Shusas, but it's not going to mean anything, because the minute that you put a price tag on the Bor B'Shusas, the guy's going to fall back and say, I was never mafkir in the first place. That's Rashi's lumdus. Everyone said that, Rashi? It's a powerful Rashi. Tosfos says, Lo Shemano Dov Zemiyot. Tosfos says, that's the reason why. The guy's playing a game. He's a Taurus Nadarim. If I would have known that you would have... It's not a joke. Why are you mafkir? You're not mafkir. Taisa says, Rashi is correct lemaskana, but he's incorrect in terms of the reason why. So Taisa says, I'll tell you what the real reason is. Taisa in the fourth Rambam Kaima says, Daf Nun Amabez, V'yeshlam v'dahayinu taimu, Mishum da'omu le'torcha b'shusim, my boy. I say to you, owner of the shore, what in the world is your shore doing in my bore? No, wait a second, hold on, stop, hold the phone for a second. That claim of what's your shore doing in my bore, everyone agrees to that claim. Even Rabbi Yehu, who agrees to that? Haraya, even Rabbi Akiva concedes, if I dig a pit in my backyard and not mafkir, what's the din? Of course I'm potter. So that's like a pasha to svara, what are you doing in my backyard? So didn't Rabbi Akiva solve that claim already by creating what piece of information? The mafkir of the backyard. So Rabbi Shmuel turns around to Rabbi Akiva and says, no, that's not enough of a legitimate excuse to why the guy ended up in your bar. Why? Says Rabbi Shmuel back to Rabbi Akiva, says Tosis, Shlohoylo liskarev kokach eitz v'shusa shetipo b'bar. He says, it's true, your animal had a right to walk there because I was mafkir. But what your animal did not have a right to do was... to do what? To walk to the edge and then klotz and a half and clumsy shlemazel and fall into my bore. That it had no right to do. And at the end of the day, it's damaging in my bore. At the end of the day, he has no right to be in my pit. So comes Taisus Bedasi Bishmol and says that you, Rabbi Akiva, you didn't solve the problem. Even you, Rabbi Akiva, agree that at the end of the day, the buck stops here with Shorcha Bishusi, my boy. So Rabbi Akiva thought that he solved the problem, and Rabbi Shmuel says he didn't solve the problem because even as hefker as I made it, at the end of the day, it was still irresponsible of the owner of the shore to let him fall into the pit. At the end of the day, if the damage is taking place in my reshus, it's my pit, I ain't going to pay for that. And I could still, al zeh ne'emar shorcha b'shusi, my boy. So there's a very, very dakistik of machloikis here, Rashi and Tosfos, what the response of Rabbi Shmuel was to Rabbi Akiva. The Gemara doesn't document what the response is. We have no idea what the response of Rabbi Shmuel to Rabbi Akiva was. We have reason to believe there had to have been some response, because the Rishonim were assuming this is not a miut. If it would be just a miut, that's it, kichra, and that's it, no more, no less, then we don't need a response from Rabbi Shmuel. So the Gemara was silent on what their potential response was, but the Rishonim were trying to read in between the lines what Rabbi Shmuel's response was. So according to Rashi's version, the machlekes Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel is licked in the hefker. It's a machlekes, is that a legitimate claim to say, b'chi agav lo hefkarti? Rabbi Shmuel claims that's a legitimate poter, Rabbi Akiva denies that. According to Tosfos, the machlekes is not licked in the hefker. Everyone agrees, you are mafkir, you're mafkir, you're mafkir. But im kol zeh, you could still fall back on a poter of shorcha b'shusi my boy. And that was the nekudas machlekes Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel. Is that a legitimate poter? Because after all, I did give a green light for him to walk around the backyard, and sometimes animals trip. Is that a legitimate taina of shorcha b'shusi my boy or not? So when all the dust settles, Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel are arguing about the case of Bor B'Shuso. We're not quite sure why Rabbi Shmuel didn't at least invoke Kavachayim to get to the same conclusion of Rabbi Akiva's Pasuk, but the Rishonim give us different eitzes as to why. So that's just the background. Again, we didn't even start Rabbi Shmuel yet. Everyone understood, right? We just saw Rabbi Akiva B'Shmuel, everyone understood? There's a lot of give and take, a lot of discussion in between the lines between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel.
You said that that Rabbi Shmuel is not really opposed to the idea of
Bor B'Shuso,
it's just not
going to
happen.
We're going to get to just how I dropped that line because I want to, we're going to come back to that line in a little while. Okay? Just try to drop the hints you picked up on. Comes Rashi and says, when all the dust settles, there was a machloikis tanoim. No matter how we got to where we got to, there was a machloikis tanoim in a case of a Bor B'Shuso. Does Bor B'Shuso exist or not? According to Rabbi Akiva, it's a full-fledged Bor HaAmar B'Torah, covered by the Pasuk, Baal HaBoi Shalem. Rabbi Shmuel says, that's not what Baal HaBoi Shalem means. The Kavachomer was refuted for one of two reasons, Rashi Atosis, therefore Bor B'Shuso was Takapotar. So comes Rashi now in Daf Kav Ches and says, we have a Machloikis, Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel, that is there a model in the Torah Bor B'Shuso? That Machloikis is now going to have significant impact on Rav and Shmuel. What are Rav and Shmuel fighting about? I have a suitcase, and I left the suitcase in the middle of the street. And I was not mafkir that suitcase. So if you had to call that a boar, what kind of a boar would you call it? It's a boar in the middle of the street, that's true, but it's a boar that what? I wasn't mafker, so it's a boar that what? That belongs to me. I own that boar. According to Rabbi Akiva, you own that boar? Wonderful. And you can be chayef for owning a boar. Azen nem, a bala boar yishalem. So that suitcase in the middle of the street, according to Rabbi Akiva, is the halach equivalent of a boar bishusoy. It's not literally bishusoy because it's in the street, but it's boar shahu mamono. Boar that has an owner, ownership, has a title to it. Rav is looking at that suitcase in the middle of the street and saying, I don't recognize what kind of a boar we're going to label that suitcase. Point to me to the model of the Torah. Everything goes back to Torah Shebichsav. You gotta fit into the pattern of Ashur Mishpatim. Avos Ksive Behedya. You want to make a Toldah, you gotta be able to link it to an Ava Amar B'Torah. Give me a case. Describe to me, says Rav to Shmuel. Give me the case of a suitcase in the middle of the street that you own. How could that be a boar? Which boar is it? Is it the model of boar b'shus harabim? It is so radically different than the model of boar b'shus harabim. What's radically different about it? Boar b'shus harabim what? You don't own, and boar of the suitcase, you still do own. So Eloah, it's closer to the model of a boar b'shuso. What does Rav say back to Shmuel? I happen to hold like who? Like Rabbi Shmuel. And I who hold like Rabbi Shmuel, says Rav to Shmuel, if I hold like Rabbi Shmuel, then there is no second case. There is no boar b'shus. It doesn't exist. And therefore, boar will not be the model to be mechayev this suitcase. So a boar is not going to be. The only reason, says Rashi, why Shmuel was able to call it a boar is because Shmuel happened to be of the belief of Rabbi Akiva. Shmuel was following the footsteps of Rabbi Akiva, that there is a boar, sheyesh lo bailam amma b'toyre, that's bal haboy shalem, alzen nema bal haboy shalem. And therefore, you can be chayiv in a boar that you own, and that is the model of Avon HaSekina Masal Shalev Kiran. If it was mafkirit, then that's the model of boar b'shus harabim. That everyone agrees to. But if you weren't mafkirit, that is the model according to Shmuel. According to Rav, there ain't no model. Doesn't exist. And now that we've ascertained there's no model, doesn't exist, so we should say it's potter, right? Everyone's potter proven osir. Everyone's potter proven chayiv. So Rav comes from left field and says, you're right, boar fails us. But lo and behold, you know what's going to save us? Shore is going to save us. How are we going to say that the suitcase is a shore? It's exactly like a shore, right? A shore you own and a suitcase you own. What's the difference? I mean, I can think of a lot of differences, but Rav says, what's the difference? Misheru lamadnu and yechayev al shore. So if I had to ask you in a nutshell, according to Rashi, what is the nekudas ha-machlekes Rav and Shmuel? What's the point of contention with Rav and Shmuel? What's the correct answer? Very, very simple answer. What's the answer? So the Kudus Machalik says what? Is, do you follow Rabbi Kiva or do you follow Rabbi Shmuel? It's the same Machalik as resurfacing 100 years later. Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel lived 100 years before Rav and Shmuel. But it's the same exact Machalik. What they were fighting out in the days of the Tanaim, the Amoraim are repeating the Machalik, just a little bit of a different twist. But the Machalik is Matali, it's Mamish Hainuhach. Okay. We haven't mentioned too much about shore. We've been talking more why it's not boar. We haven't even addressed yet why it's not shore. Oh, who's Kasha you having to? Who has that Kasha? If it's so smart, if Rash is so smart that it's the same Achloikis, how come the Gemara didn't say Ketanoi, Lema Ketanoi, right? That's Ramban's Kasha. The Ramban is that long more Muhammad said, but snips it at Muhammad, so I don't get a chance to see it. So one of the kashas the Ramban asks, if Rashi's right, so why didn't the Gemara wake up to that reality? How come no one in the Gemara didn't say, Lema Ketanoi? Okay, good, very good, excellent. On the ball. Everybody say, well, let's go a little bit further in analyzing Rashi's version of what the Machlokes Rav and Shmuel was. The baseline of the sugya, the starting point, Hanukkah Rishen of the sugya, according to Rashi, is that we're going to nail you, we're going to make you pay for any and every av we could find. Any av that's appropriate to the case at hand, we're going to make you pay for. We're going to make you chai for this count, that count, the other count. I'm not saying we're going to make you pay multiple times, but any possible mechayev we can throw at you, we're going to throw at you. Now again, some of the mechayevim are absurd. If you have a suitcase sitting in the middle of the street, we're not going to call it Aish, right? What's that have to do with Aish? We're not going to call it Shame. Right? We're not going to call, let's just say that, sure. We're not going to call it Adam HaMazik. Not smashing your window actively with the Ma'isa Adam HaMazik. So we're limited to which one we're going to find, but we're going to find one. To jump ahead to the list of, there are 24 of us in Zikin, later on the Dalet. We're not going to call it Im Zomin. We're not going to call it Motoshemra. We're not going to call it Ghana. We're not going to call it Dalet. Right? So we're limited to which ones, but any and every one we could possibly Mechai before, we're going to be Mechai before. How do I know what I'm said is true? Because Rashi felt compelled to explain what phenomena. Rashi's Bedas Rav. What's he working on? Rashi's sweating here to explain what? Why it's what? He's not explaining why it's sure. Why it's not bor. Rashi felt that one line in Dafka Chesed Mabez. Hey, look at Rashi in Dafka Chesed. You've got to read every word in Rashi's Kedish Kadoshim, every word of Rashi. So Rashi felt compelled in Daf Kaf Ches to explain to you why isn't it bor? So, and therefore it's not bor, right? If it doesn't meet the criteria of bor, so that's why it's not bor. Vice versa, if not for the fact that it just happened not to be similar enough, it should have been bor. That means the starting point of the sugi is any and every Av HaMazik that we can nail it to, we connect it to, you can be chayav for. And now it's Alecha Lavi Raya that you don't belong to that category. So Rav was maybe a Raya, well, you don't belong to Bor. If that's the case, that the Sugya is starting Misvara, that you have to explain why you not, why you don't belong to any given category, we can turn the Sugya on its head now and ask a similar question that Rashi asked according to Rav. What can we ask? What? We could turn the question to Shmuel and say, Shmuel, why is Rav not right? Why is it not a shor? If it's even Stephen, if you're asking the question according to Rav, Rav, get up on trial and explain yourself. Why isn't this package, why isn't this suitcase a bor? And Rav gave a legitimate answer because he's been a Rabbi Shmuel person. So let's turn the same question around to Shmuel and say, Shmuel, could you please leave Surah and go to Nahadar right now. Go to Shmuel's yeshiva right now and ask him, Yomadeinu the Heilige, Heilige Shmuel, please explain to me what is wrong with your colleague's assessment? What is wrong with calling this a shor? And you have to come up with some kind of a reason. If Rav had come up with some kind of a defense, it's not fair. We're just anti-Rav people. So the same way we attacked Rav and Rav had to defend himself, let's turn the question on its head. Can Shmuel also? So Shmuel, please explain yourself. So everyone, close your eyes, go back to the time machine, 1700 years. We're sitting now in Nahar Dor. It's on a Sunday morning. People, Sunday and a regular day in Nahar Dor, probably not the weekend, so that's why everyone's here. Baruch Hashem, everyone's here also. Okay, we're still going strong. So you're sitting in Nahar Dor on a nice Sunday morning, right after Parshas Noach, and you pose the question to the Heilige Shiva, Shmuel. Shmuel, what's wrong with calling the suitcase a shore? And you know what? If you call it a shore, we'll be chayav and kalim. And you're clearly not calling it a shore. Why not? Why isn't it a shore? Why isn't the suitcase a shore? What do you think Shmuel would do at that point? Most probably. If I was Shmuel, you know what I would do? What would I do to you if you asked me such a silly kasha? I'd say, go to another yeshiva, go learn by Rav. He said, we don't talk that way in the Hardo. You want to know why a suitcase isn't an ox? Did you ever go to a farm? You ever see an ox? You ever see a suitcase? Do they look the same? There you go. Thank you, Mr. Okay. I mean, Benayim. So I understand the question that Rashi posed according to Rav. Why isn't this a bor? That makes a lot. That's a good kasha. Because after all, if you're a mafkir, attack is a bor. So this suitcase has all the trappings of bor. So Rav better come up with a good explanation why it's a bor. Shmuel has to waste his time to explain why it's not a shore. So we're laughing at the kasha. Well, don't laugh. Those who laugh last laugh. Something or left, I don't know whatever the phrase is. Don't laugh so fast at the kasha. It's not as simple as you think it is. It's not as glaringly obvious as you think it is that a suitcase is not an ox. Not so simple. How do I know that's not so simple? Well, Ralph thought it was. So it's not as a big joke anymore. So wait a second. There's some machlokes going on here between Rav and Shmuel. Not the machlokes that Rashi was talking about why isn't it a bor. That we already sliced up. We already know that. That's the machlokes of the Kivrim Shmuel. That's the easy part. But according to Rashi sizing up for the sugya, that chayav to prove in potter, so there's another machloikis in between the lines here. Why is it not a shor? So why is that a boil we already finished? That took us to half of this year. Why is it not a shor according to Shmuel? And why is it a shor according to Rav? What is the nekudas machloikis Rav and Shmuel about why it is not a shor? So we have a double machloikis here, Rav and Shmuel. Why is it not a boar? That we did already. Baruch Hashem, hopefully we did a good job explaining. Hopefully. Why is it not a shor? Why should it be a shor? What's the nekudas machloikis? Okay. So our initial reaction would be, is that, wait a second. How in the world can you call it a shor? It's not alive. Now we know, we learned Abdez in Baba Kav. We already know Ruach Chaim is an important factor in Ezekiel. Remember the Mishnah spoke about Ruach Chaim. If the Torah would have just said Ki Yigach Shor, I would have said a suitcase is the same thing in a million years. Say the Ruach Chaim. So we're back to square one, but Shmuel so obvious. So why in Surah? Why did Rav say what he said? What was Rav's Svara? Who remembers? Who was the first one to pose this question? We spoke about this a few weeks ago. Who asked this question? Rav is pilei ployim. It doesn't make any sense.
According to Rav, in that came out with that, he says, "Kol tekal shalach kerem shorla manu mashur shumamona beizim chayv hakomamona beizim chayv."
But I want to know. But what happened to the obvious pircha? One's bal chayim, one's not. Why is it not relevant? The Mishnah Dabeis calls that relevant. So I want to know. I want to go back to the ABCs of Rav and Shmuel. I understand what the Nekudas Machlokes says, why is or is not a shor. That I got all that. That's easy. I want to know why it is or is not a shor. What is the engine driving this equation of this inequality? Who is right? Obviously, this statement on the board is correct. Why did Rav think otherwise? Oh. Who asked this kasha? Who was the first one to pose this problem? Who remembers? Nobody remembers. Way, way back. Not that long ago. This was the who? This was the Rashbam. That was the kasha that on our sugya, the Toys and Dav Gimel Beis, quotes the name of the Rashbam. The Rashbam says, "What in the world is Rav talking about?" Rashbam was so bothered with this kasha, he says, "You're right. No human being could ever in a million years equate a shor directly to a suitcase. That is just, it's ludicrous. It's absurd to make such an equation." And that's not what Rav meant. What Rav meant was, in the first Rashbam, the osi mi bor vishor b'mehatzad. It was a mehatzad. It was a combination of shor and bor. As soon as you start to shepherd me and say, "Hey, wait a second, shor not so simple. Shor is alive. Suitcases are dead." What immediately comes to refute that refutation? Well, bor doesn't have any rechaim in it. It's chayav. So what's next response? Bor, wait a second. Bor, is that mamona? Shor saves the day. And lo and behold, you have a combination called a shor bor. It's the new compound limud called shor and bor. And says the Rashbam, when Rav said Mishur Lamanu, he didn't really mean Mishur Lamanu alone. What he really meant to say was Mishur Ubar Lamanu. No, okay, that's great. So in Surah, they're dancing in the streets for joy because we just gave a pshat in their Rosh Hashiv and Rav. We go back to Nardoa, back to Shmuel. We turn around and Shmuel say, "Shmuel, what's wrong with what Rav just said? Why do you disagree with him? Why do you think Shmuel couldn't go down that route? What was the problem? What was the deficiency in Rav's logic?"
I mean, why can't you say for Shmuel that he's saying the same thing? That's a combination of bor and shor, but bor is the
giant. Wait.
There's no grip on bor. He thinks that a bor
doesn't work. No, so we have to explain two things. The fact that Shmuel says Yechayev al bor, that I got, that's easy. That's Rabbi Shmuel. But why Yechayev al shor? And that'll make Yechayev in Kalim. What's wrong with Rav? The Rashbam was so gewaldic, so glatt what the Rashbam said. What was Tosfos Kashi against Rashbam?
You can't learn from both two things at the same time.
Can't learn from two things? You can, but you need the Pturim of both. In fact, Tosfos against the Rashbam, Avo Kosher, if you Rashbam are right, Kevin to be born, Nami Yolif, the Tru Kalim, Kibor. The very statement of Rav, the original machlokes of Rav Ches, Rav's whole punchline was Yechayev and Kalim. That was the whole machlokes. That's why we're spending our time. Otherwise, we'd be philosophizing in the streets of Paris. The machlokes Rav and Shmuel is Lamaisa, Yechayev and Kalim and not. So now that the Rashbam just told me that even Rav, we just watered down Rav significantly. We thought Rav really held suitcases and oxen are the same thing. We were pulling this over you and saying, yeah, suitcases and oxen are all the same thing. Mapit, the home says Rashbam, says Dvarim B'Tehillim is Narshkei. A suitcase is not an ox. Elohim, a shore can be used to combine together with boy to get you to the common denominator and get you to the point of being chayev. Frektosis, if so, then what? It should be Potter and Kalim. Because if part of the engine that's driving this new Mechayev is the shore-bore alliance, you should be subject to all the Pturim of both shore and bore. You know, what's the Rashbam's answer to that? We should also go back. Remember, guys, we're just doing Chazorah. There's a reason why we started off with a Kamada Bay. He's talking about all those Yesodis. Yeah?
The grid.
Dr. Briskerov, the Pshat in the Rashbam was that you have a combination of factors to create a Chiyuv. That combination creates the Chiyuv what? The Chiyuv Mazik, the Shem Mazik. What it does not address is the Prat, which Av you fall under. How do you determine which Prat you fall under? What did the Briskerov say? What Koyach do you use for that? Libi Emeli, whatever Libi, Meichi, whatever common sense. You need the combination of factors to get you onto the table of being chayef to pay. To get your checkbook out, you need the combination of factors. But which one you're ultimately going to belong to, Seichel Yosh will dictate. And therefore the Biskarov said, Bidasa Rashbam, that Shor and Boy must join forces to create a Chiyav Mamon. But once they did, then at the end of the day, which one is it closer to? I have a Chiyav Mamon. I know that this guy's paying. I know the suitcase is paying. I have no qualms about the suitcase paying. I'm just not quite sure which one is it closer to label it as an Av, as a told of which Av? So it has characteristics of Shor and characteristics of Bor. The characteristics of Bor are it's inanimate. The characteristics of Shor are that what? That it is? It is what? It is? What's the character according to Rav? It's what? It's Mamoni. And Bor is not Mamoni because, don't forget, Rav's a Rabbi Shmuel person. So comes the Briskerov and says, comes the Rashbam and says, and comes everybody and saying now, Rav was able to stick it into the category of Shor, even though it's not really Shor. It doesn't look 100% like Shor, but we use them outside, it's out of Shavah to create the Shem Mazik. And now we're going to put it into what seems to be the closer category. And therefore we're going to label it Shor, and therefore Yechayev and Kalim. And who would disagree with this? Who says wrong, not true? I agree that you can somehow use two forces to create a Shem Mazik. If you want to do that, that's fine. But at the end of the day, you can't be more chayev than what created your status. And I don't believe in the Briskerov. Who do you think would respond back? I don't accept that Briskerov. Shmuel would respond back and say, that's exactly why I disagree with what you said. So when Shmuel said to Rav, you're not chayev on Kalim. This is not a shore. What Shmuel was really saying is, I don't disagree with the first half of what you said, that you want to combine Shor and Bor to create a Shem Mum and Amad. That I got. I can tolerate that. But Shmuel says the buck stops here. Once I'm using it as part of the Melamed, then it's subject to all the whims and all the coolers and all the pturim of the Melamed, which is exactly why Tosfos ultimately rejects what? Rejects the Rashbam Shpat outright. What we're saying is the Rashbam's 100% right, according to who? According to Rav. That's exactly who's the machlokes, Rav and Shmuel. So, whoa, Rabbi said, we got a wild day going on here. We know there's a machlokes, Rav and Shmuel, but guess what? It was neschadish to us, through the eyes of Rashi, that there's a double machlokes, Rav and Shmuel. There's a machlokes, Rav and Shmuel, why it's not a boar, and there's a machlokes, Rav and Shmuel, why it's not a shore. Why it's not a boar, why it is a boar, well, that's easy. That's Machlokes Rabbi Kiva Rabbi Shmuel. We had to fine-tune the Machlokes a little bit and try to figure out what the Machlokes was and why Rabbi Shmuel says what he says, Rabbi Kiva says what he says, the Kavachim is in the engines and the foot. So we had to do a little bit of work in Rabbi Kiva Rabbi Shmuel. But at the end of the day, we understand that according to Rashi, one of the major components of the Machlokes Rabbi Shmuel is it a boar, is it not a boar, i.e. Machlokes Rabbi Kiva Rabbi Shmuel. But then we had an equally compelling problem, is that, well, why should it or should it not be a shore? And there we were in the dark. why should or should not be a shore? So we laughed and said, of course it's not a shore, because it's not alive. So we said, well, it can't be too simple, it can't be that easy. Didn't Rav realize it's not alive? So the answer is, of course Rav knew. Rav also knew the package is not alive. But Rashi, what Rav thought was, you're right, it's not alive. And it's not going to serve as a direct model, and you can't just go directly from shore to a package. But what you can do is use the package in connection, in compounding it together with Bor to create a Shem Mazik. And once you do that, then you could fit it into whichever Av you think is more correct. And Shmuel responded, no. You can't do that. Shmuel said, that's not acceptable. Shmuel said that maybe the shore Bor combination is good, but you're still stuck. Because you're still stuck with all the Peturim of Bor. Or, if you want to salvage the Brisker Rav, according to everybody, what else could you say? What else could you say? That Shmuel agreed to the whole Brisker Rav. The Shmuel said, of course, and Brisk is not Rav, of course Brisk is Amos. But Shmuel said, you're right, we have a compound, and you're right, we have to choose which one to put it into, and I really honestly believe that it's this one and not the other one. Because at the end of the day, it's closer to this one, not the other one. So we're going to come back to that Mahalach. That's very close to what the Ramban says. Probably not what Rashi says, but closer to what the Ramban says. But we're going to have to fine-tune that part of the circuit a little bit later on. So at least for Baisi, at this point, what do we have? We have documented Machlekes, both in Daf Gimel, as well as Daf Kaf Ches, between Rav and Shmuel. We know in Afkamina, Prachon Afkamina Ladina, whether the Avonis Kikinu Vassal, Sheinich, which is Rav, and Lohiv Kiron, whether the Achayev and Kalim, is it Shor, is it Bor? We know that Rashi taught us that we have to explain not just why it's something, but we explain why it's not the other one. And we have to really, really be careful to figure out a reason why it's not the other one. So Rashi gave us that reason why it is or is not a Bor, and he connected it to Machlokes Rabbi Akiva and Shmuel, which pushed us back just to analyze properly Machlokes Rabbi Akiva and Shmuel. Everyone starts with Pasuk Yichre. Rabbi Akiva's Mechadish is second Pasuk. Rabbi Shmuel reinterpreted the second Pasuk differently. Rabbi Shonim asked the Kasha, even if you reinterpret the Pasuk, why isn't there a Kal V'Chomer? So that led us to believe that there's no Drusha Lamait as a Kal V'Chomer. Rashi tells us each one came up with a reason why the Kal V'Chomer falls short. But at the end of the day, according to Rashi, the Machlekes Rav and Shmuel, in Hilchos Bor at least, is just a replica of Machlekes Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel. The second half of the Machlekes, why it is or is not sure, seems to be a throwback to the days of the Rashbam with the Brisker Rav, which may even present the possibility that that Rashbam / Brisker Rav may gufa be at the root of the Machlekes Rav and Shmuel. But again, this is all assuming that we're correct, that the Machlekes Rav and Shmuel is really, really started in Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel territory. And that's going to become a very major, major question in Rishonim, because one of the reasons to mention is that there are Gemaras, simple reading of Gemaras, that don't seem to bear that out, that seem to suggest that the Machlekes Rav and Shmuel has to be understood on its own merits, not related to Machlekes Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel. Hopefully Hashem tomorrow we'll try to pick up with Tosfos Mahalach and the Ramban's Mahalach as to how that Machlekes may or may not relate back to Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel. Sorry, I didn't.
That's a possibility that Shmuel holds at the grace.